Welcome back, everyone. Now to the second hour of the Young Turks. I'm still here, and now Brooke Thomas joins us.
Yay.
Jules Sosdaltsev is joining us as well. He's actually going to be leading us through this hour. Good
awesome.
To have you both here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks. Same.
It's good to have you here. Before we get back into the news, though, I do want to read a few more tweets. A. Lipschitz tweeted in reference to one of the comments I made that said, they erased databases that tracked illegal actions of puppy mills. If that's true, Republican voters should be against that, right? That's plain evil. That's true, but once you've accepted throwing kids in cages, it's easy to accept a little bit of dog abuse, I think, at that point. Some other tweets. Darian Rose says, I love watching TYT Live, even though my girlfriend thinks I'm a politics nerd. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's a turn on
Nerds
these days.
Are cool.
A politics
at least he has
nerd,
a girlfriend.
For sure.
That's
right.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty good.
There you go. Yeah, you're doing okay. What are you worried about? Evan Lee Cranium says, John, I can't email you, but how about a tweet? I appreciate all you do for the country. Well, thank you. Although I do virtually nothing. All I do is talk. The actual activists and committed, passionate politicians are the ones who really do stuff out there. And the voters who choose them. An eclectic miscellaneous says, doesn't Trump know from history that you're only allowed to secretly invade and support coup d'etat in Latin America? I don't think he's read the history, unfortunately. So he's going to go for the overt.
We all know by now. I mean, it's been well documented.
Yeah. And my pet fish Eric says, it's not the dictatorship in Venezuela, it's the oil. Which is possible. Trump strikes me as less of a let's invade for oil guy than uh-huh. Bush was. He seems more of a Maduro called me a D, so I'm going to invade
right.
guy. But it could be the oil too.
Right.
It could certainly
it's
be the oil
it
too.
Might be a
it's
mix
up in the air.
Both.
Yeah. Okay, so I know we have a lot to get to. What's the first story today?
We do. Well, first of all, it seems that nobody in the Trump administration is ready to reunite kids with their families after a court order. Now they are doing DNA testing on kids to match them with their parents. Lawyers for children in custody have reported that government officials have been approaching them for blood and saliva. That's particularly worrisome because A, there's no way that these kids are consenting to DNA tests, and B, do we really want a government database of which kids have which DNA and where they come from, especially being non-citizens? The children are currently being held by Health and Human Services. The HHS secretary had this to say.
You referenced the deadline as artificial, so I'm not sure what that means as far as you being able to meet that deadline, but are you confident that every child will be accounted for?
Oh, every child is accounted for. We know every child where they are. We know in our records the last time any kid had their fingernails clipped. We have comprehensive records on 11,800 kids in our care and custody. And so we will comply with the court's order. Now, we will work with the court. We are doing so today to get clarification and hopefully support from the court to allow us to do our job to ensure that, in fact, these are parents of the children and ensure that they are suitable individuals to go back to these parents for. We're doing DNA testing on everybody who claims to be the parent of one of our children to confirm that. We check birth certificates. We have surged 230 HHS people and contractors out to ICE facilities to sit with the parents to get information to prove suitability and parentage of them to work through this process. Because what we care about is the kids' welfare.
That's the chief concern there.
Yeah,
I do buy though that they have accounted for the fingernail clippings. There's good DNA in them fingernails.
Exactly right.
Also, that speech. I hate when people seemingly ask for credit for doing the bare minimum of what they should be doing.
Which are they even doing the bare
right.
minimum?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, actually, the court said that they do have to return the kids, but so far they haven't at all. There's
right.
over 3,000 children still being held by HHS, and I mean, they have. You know, I think the next deadline for children under 5 is by next Tuesday. It doesn't seem like they're going to hit it. They're pushing against it pretty hard.
We had to get a court order so that kids could be able to call their parents.
That would be fantastic.
Well, that's what mm-hmm. happened. This
well, and it sounds like from the beginning of that video that he had referred to that deadline as artificial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess a judge just said it. I guess that's artificial.
Right.
Test that in other areas of life when you're potentially going to be committing a crime. But I mean, the fear is that they are not actually equipped to do so. They can say that they surged any number of different employees there. If they weren't initially getting the information they needed and they were shipping kids off around the country, it's possible that you can't actually reverse that.
I mean, it almost doesn't seem like they really had a plan to begin with. It doesn't seem like they thought that they would get enough pushback on this that they would have to reunite their families. And I think it's worth asking, what happens on Tuesday if they don't meet this deadline? What happens in 30 days if they don't return any kids? what recourse do we really have? Are we going to jail the HHS?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that kind of question is frustrating, especially with the Trump administration pushing back to try and indefinitely detain kids and their parents together, mm-hmm. which no due process, no real opportunity to leave unless they sign a piece of paper saying that they agree to be deported with their kids. It's a horrible situation for the kids and the parents with no real way out.
Yeah, I have no idea what the recourse would be if they don't actually fit it. Maybe they've got something in the actual decision, but at the end of the day, again, judicial decisions matter because we say that they matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if we stop saying that they matter, I mean, God only knows what Trump is capable of.
I mean, that's almost right. That's the role of law enforcement, but law enforcement seems to be working for their side. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's frustrating and horrifying, and we'll see.
My fear overall, I talked about this briefly in the first hour, is that, I mean, although there were massive protests over the weekend, there were 700 protests not that long ago. My fear is always the same in American politics when it comes to American media, that people will move on, especially because there's, again, so much that happens. Scott Pruitt, you know, just resigned. That's going to take up a lot of the oxygen in the room. We just had the 4th of July. We've got the Supreme Court choice coming up soon. I mean, are people going to focus on this? I think that there are some people who were convinced by his little executive order and think that this situation has been resolved when we're largely in the same situation we were a month ago.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we talked about what would happen if they just don't abide by these deadlines. I think what's scary for me, it's like we're discussing this DNA testing that's happening seemingly against everyone's will. Yeah. Unfortunately, this is just where we are now. Would it have been better if this never happened in the first place? Absolutely, correct. Is there a better way to reunite these families? I'm not sure. But also, I think what's most upsetting is that we are in this space that if this administration doesn't get court approval to indefinitely hold these children, detain these children, then this reunion essentially comes with a potential warning for a future possible split, mm-hmm. which is upsetting, you know?
Yeah, and obviously the better situation is to never have had this situation in the first place.
Right.
Not of the family separations, not of the mandatory prosecutions. We did not do that before, not even before Donald Trump. In the first part of Donald Trump, we didn't even do that. Yeah. That is a thing that they decided unilaterally to begin. They created every bit of this crisis themselves because of their choices, because of their callous, cruel, politically motivated choices to attempt to fire up their base or to attempt to get some sort of hard right immigration bill passed. Whatever the reason was, they chose to do this. And so them complaining that it's difficult to fix because people rightly are paying attention and rightly care about what's going on, I don't care about those tears. I care about the kids being reunited with their families.
I think also a lot of the pushback is incredibly frustrating because, you know, first they're holding kids hostage to try to get funding for the wall. Mm-hmm. Now there's the report that parents are being given a form that only has two options on it, one of which is I agree to be deported with my child and I agree to be deported without my child. Mm-hmm. That's not a real choice. And the fact that the Trump administration is framing it like, well, we're doing everything we can to solve this situation it's worse than dishonest. I mean, it's cruel and it violates so many international laws.
Yeah, and just even some of the discussion, they should have used a port of entry or stayed home.
Yep.
We're talking about asylum seekers. We're talking about people who are not safe. That is, I guess, you know, insensitive at the least.
Yeah. It's the same sort of callousness that greeted the Syrian refugees. Mm-hmm.
You can only get help that we agree you need if you come through the right door. Come on. It's just.
Yeah, it's cruel.
What's next?
All right, so you may remember Michael Cohen, the one-time attorney to the president, and Sean Hannity, who graduated from the worst law school in America. Well, there's been a bit of an update on his Twitter and LinkedIn. This is what his Twitter bio used to read, personal attorney to President Donald J. Trump. As of today, that's gone. Now, that's not necessarily totally unprecedented. Cohen has been under major pressure from the FBI after they raided his home. But also, Donald Trump has said that Michael Cohen is no longer my attorney and we haven't spoken in a long time, which, I mean, you know, if his tweets telegraphing the fact that he'll pardon anyone in any situation have, you know, been like, anyhow.
Yeah, obviously it's a funny little thing. I guess it makes sense that you would eventually update it. I think it would have been funnier if he'd updated with it's complicated. But I just noticed one thing.
He's so good.
We don't often have situations like this. So I don't know if you can see, but that's a shot that was taken of his profile. Okay. One of the articles that we have, one of the sources for this information has a shot of his profile that apparently happened earlier because he's liked 7 additional things in what appears there. I don't know if it's because he changed his profile ID, but he lost 7,000 followers.
Wow, really?
And he followed one additional person. Yeah, he's hit 359,000 on this article. He's tweeted 6 times. Mm-hmm. He's followed one new person and lost 7,000 followers. Maybe one of them is Trump.
I think a lot of people are wondering what took you so long? Because if the president had kind of an opposite Twitter profile dedicated to him, if his profile said proud client of Michael Cohen, he would have deleted that. He made that change months ago.
Yeah. Well, I believe he literally tweeted out that he is no longer
not a team. Yeah. Right. So it's, I think a lot of people are thinking, took you long enough.
Well, I mean, I think that this is kind of a huge deal because Michael Cohen does seem like he's turning over a new leaf. Recently, he said that, you know, he'd take a bullet for Trump, but now he actually told, he did an interview with ABC News and George Stephanopoulos, and he said, my wife, my daughter, and my son have my first loyalty and always will. I put family and country first. I mean, that's a huge reversal from, you know, Trump is my number one priority and I am loyal to him forever, which is all that Trump is, you know, asking of everyone around him. Hmm. I mean, do you think he's gonna flip?
I hate when people say I put family and country first. That's two things. Which one's first? Family or country?
Right. Also, nobody wants to go to prison, okay?
I think that's really the
main point. Have you ever watched Lock Up? No, thank you.
I want to take issue with one thing that you said, say you're turning over a new leaf.
Yeah. Okay.
He's potentially flipping. This guy has, how many laws has he broken in his life and helped other people like Donald Trump and potentially Sean Hannity to break? We don't know if he's gonna flip. Honestly, at this point, I'm fine with just waiting and finding out. I guess it'll happen in weeks or a few months or whatever. But even if he does that, that I guess serves some sort of greater good if you're interested in finding out what's actually going on and what laws might have been broken or whatever. But at the end of the day, regardless, he's still a horrible guy.
Oh,
right. Horrible guy who's done horrible things.
Right, is he turning over a new leaf or is he saving his own behind?
Oh, I mean, well,
and
when I say,
can you have it both ways?
Well, when I say turning over a new leaf, I mean the leaf that was protecting Donald Trump from all
the
of
leaf.
These.
Yeah, oh God. I apologize for that.
No, do you?
Well, I mean, look, it does, if you watch Fox News, it does seem like Fox is starting to question his credibility. You know, like again, Trump has said that like we haven't spoken in a long time. Telegraphing those kinds of moves says that I think they know something that we can only guess at, which is that, you know, Cohen's loyalty is gone and he's looking out for himself. And yeah, I mean, he's using family and country as a cover, but I would just assume that the FBI, out of the 4 million documents that they have access to, is, you know, they've threatened him with you know, jail time or whatever criminal penalties that he is probably guilty of, you know, in exchange for turning on the president.
Can I just say, you guys, I am so weirded out still by this reality show that we're living in. The fact that we are even breaking down the removal of 5 words from someone's Twitter profile, and it's not our fault. It's not our fault because the president uses Jack's platform, Twitter.com, as his weekly official address to the nation, and it's just, this is where we are right now. Yeah. And it's just, I can't think of another word. It's weird to me.
Did you see the latest update in the reality show of this?
Mm-hmm.
That he hired one of Hillary Clinton's former lawyers? Is there no one in this country who's not worked for either Trump, Hillary Clinton, or maybe George W. Bush? Like, is there no other lawyer out there? Which makes me think that it was intentional. Anyway, I guess we'll know. We'll find out at some point if he's gonna flip or if he's not gonna flip or whatever. But he probably knows something. Certainly we don't know for sure that he's done anything. We can't know for sure. We don't know what's in the documents, but he's certainly acting like a person who is worried about what could happen to him legally.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, why don't we take our first break? When we come back, lots more stories Jules is gonna present for us. Welcome back, everyone. John, Jules, and Brooke. We've got a couple more tweets before we jump back into the news. Free Press Green said, please, no mention of fig leaves when you're talking about tiny hands I just ate. Sorry about that. And someone said that fig leaves, that's not necessary. A bay leaf or a laurel leaf would probably be enough.
Okay.
Which is, oh, come on, that's offensive.
It's so, yeah.
And I don't understand what you mean. I don't get it.
Well, I just got into gardening, so that makes perfect sense.
There you go.
This is so bad.
And Gabby Morita said, their greatest concern is the welfare of children, says the guy on TV defending putting children in cages. Mm-hmm. I call BS. Thank you for tweeting those in. Hashtag TRT Live. Oh, also, let's mention the members while we're here. Want to thank Jason Martin and Jessica Glant for being members of TYT. Thank you so much for it. With that, why don't we jump back in the news?
Sure. So, in Oregon, State Representative Janelle Bynum was canvassing door-to-door in Clackamas County. That's her district. And that is kind of the perfect elected representative who cares about her constituents move. Then a woman called the cops on her because she was suspicious that Bynum was spending so much time in the neighborhood and on her phone. It may be worth noting that Bynum is African American, and while we don't know the race of the woman who called the police, Clackamas County is 87% white and 1% black. But as you can see, Bynum took the situation in stride. She got a selfie with the officer who responded to the call.
He looks happy.
She posted the selfie on Facebook and said, a big shout out to Officer Campbell, who responded professionally to someone who said that I was going door to door and spending a lot of time typing on my cell phone after each house, AKA canvassing and keeping account of what my community cares about. I asked to meet my constituent who thought I was suspicious, but she was on the road by then. The officer called her, we talked, and she did apologize. Hashtag, let's be better neighbors.
Hashtag be best neighbors.
I mean, it's funny, but it's terribly sad that this is not the first time, and this is literally an elected official trying to do her job.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know, black people existing is not suspicious. So that's just one. 911 is not your personal, I'm uncomfortable customer service line. Mm-hmm. That's number two. And also, I do think a lot of people were pointing out how ridiculous it is that the woman who is using her, you know, 911, is she's being some sort of authority figure. Like, I'm going to protect this area, doesn't know who her elected officials are. But also, the fact that so much of this conversation has focused on, and not our conversation, but just in general online, how this is an elected representative. This woman was doing her job. Mm-hmm. I hate that black people have to be extraordinary in order to breathe. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Because it does not matter that this is an elected official. It does not matter that she's a state representative. What matters is that she's a human. And she just deserves you to treat her like a human. It is not suspicious. Sure, somebody creeping around at 1 a.m. looking through five different windows in a neighborhood, okay, suspicious. But someone knocking on doors, making their presence known, having conversations with the people who answer the doors, and then doing that over and over and over again is just, it's not suspicious at all.
See, I'm glad that they referenced that she was an elected official, not because it matters. Obviously, no one should have the cops call them in that situation. But if you are keeping a log of all of the different things you're not allowed to do while being black, that's one more thing that now is checked off. You can't go to the pool, you can't go to Waffle House, you can't go to Starbucks, you can't go to the Subway today. They called the cops on an African American family at Subway because they were using the bathroom too much. And so they thought that something that had to do with robbery. I don't know. You sell gigantic sodas, people are going to go to the bathroom. That's what I say. Also, I think it's odd. So she's going around and she's on her phone, and that's what's suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm just a nerd, but my first assumption is that she's playing Pokemon Go. Like, for months as a world, we had crowds of people going around and typing on their phone.
What
There's
got to
be somebody still playing it.
What year is it that you think people are still playing Pokemon
There's
Go?
There's some that are
playing. But also, we are breaking down what looked suspicious, what she called for, when really we have to be honest about the fact that black people make a large amount of people in this country nervous just by being there.
Just by existing.
And she could have been slowly driving through the neighborhood. She could have been looking at houses for sale. She could have been just clearing her mind, going on a drive. And this all could have resulted in the police being called on her. It doesn't matter what she was doing or who she is. It matters what she looks like if we're just honest.
Yeah.
And it happens often, all the time.
I 100% agree. Obviously, this has been going on far longer than people have been covering it. It's only been a couple of months that people have been talking about this, really. I guess Starbucks might have been the first big one. Mm-hmm. But what amazes me is, even with all of this coverage, 3 to 4 times a week we hear about things like this. You know, there's the person, I don't like you selling water, I don't like you being in the pool, I don't like you doing all this stuff. And news after news after news, and still someone is gonna go home tonight and they're gonna look out their front window and think, I'm calling the cops on that person. Right. Like, I don't know if they don't pay attention to the news, or if in some sick way they're interested in being the next person in this pattern. But we don't learn anything as a culture from the things that other people do. We have to experience it ourselves. It's unnecessary. It's stupid. It's a waste of time. Stop calling the cops on people. Jesus.
I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. I mean,
can I mention one other?
Please.
A guy today called the cops because his McDonald's was too cold. I don't know who served it to him. It might have been a white person. But
well, see,
no, honestly,
that's an actual important reason.
That's a real one.
I mean, have you ever had
John?
I don't know if
and
I've
then
ever
right
called 911
for it. It's
yeah.
cold.
I would eat it anyway.
No, I'm kidding.
Care.
You know I would.
I barely
yeah.
feel how hot it is on the way
so
down.
Ridiculous.
off of that crazy tangent, I just to add on to it, there's another story that McDonald's is being sued for not changing the price of a quarter pounder with or without cheese. People feel stiffed by the lack of cheese.
Hmm.
But that, I mean, that is like a humorous aside to like a very serious, serious story. And I mean, look, last week, a 12-year-old boy in Cleveland had the police called on him for mowing a lawn. I mean, people use police as this sort of like, it's a boogeyman for so many people in this country. For non-white people, the police are a threatening force.
Because we have to also point out how often when we hear of those stories where unfortunately, a black man, a young black man, it usually happens, is shot and killed, and they're unarmed, and they weren't doing anything. A lot of the times, the interaction with an officer started with somebody calling the police because he looked suspicious.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those times it happened because he called the police because he had gotten in a car wreck and he was hurt. That's happened before, too. But fortunately, this woman is still alive and able to continue to do her job, and she's got you know, a great attitude because she's used to this.
Yeah. Hopefully got an extra voter.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well,
okay, what's next?
All right, the next story is from the UK. Charlie Rowley and Don Sturgis allegedly handled an item containing the poison Novichok, which may sound familiar because it's one of the deadliest nerve agents ever created and was used allegedly by the Russian government to assassinate a former Russian spy in the UK in March. Now, it does not appear that the item that they, or that rather that the two people who were poisoned were targeted. It seems that they just picked up the item and were poisoned inadvertently. But the fact that there is poison floating around the UK, again, allegedly from Russia, has startled a lot of people in the UK. This is what the UK Home Secretary had to say when he called on Russia to explain what's going on.
It is now time that the Russian state comes forward and explains exactly what has gone on. Let me be clear. We do not have a quarrel with the Russian people. Rather, it is the actions of the Russian government that continue to undermine our security and that of the international community. We will stand up to the actions that threaten our security and the security of our partners. It is completely unacceptable for our people to be either deliberate or accidental targets, or for our streets, our parks, our towns to be dumping grounds for poison. We will continue with our investigations as a matter of urgency, and I will keep the House and the public updated on any significant developments.
Now, unsurprisingly, Russia has denied that they had anything to do with this. NTV, which is a Russian television channel that used to be critical of the Putin administration, and then the owner was arrested and the government took over the channel and gave it to the state oil company, which is kind of how Russia works. Now, anyway, they, on that channel, they called it Groundhog Day, and they said that the allegation was baseless and that they'd been hearing about this poison forever and that it was totally ridiculous when, you know, every intelligence community and I mean, we know it's Russia. It's alleged, but we know this is how they operate.
Well, it's the most likely single source. We don't know for sure. They're going to investigate it as they did the last ones. We can't say for sure because we don't know.
Right.
I mean, theoretically, anyone could have had access to it. I believe that with that particular nerve agent, the only group that is known to have access to it is the Russian government. But again, it's not impossible. These are allegations at this point that obviously they're going to look into. Yep. But I also know that this is the sort of story that, for whatever reason, for about a year now, if anything bad happens and it can be connected in any way to Russia, you're supposed to ignore it. Because if you don't ignore it, then you're a McCarthyite or something from people who have no idea what that actually means. And that's weird. So we're going to do the responsible thing, which is report on the news and then say that these are allegations that are being investigated. That's the situation.
I think so, I was born in the former USSR. My family has spoken to me a lot about essentially how the Russian intelligence and government has operated. And if you look at the past year, Russia has gotten away, not just the past year, the past like 5 years, Russia has gotten away with more and more and more. I mean, we talk about Russia a lot, but that's because Russia has done a lot. I mean, we could say they allegedly have poisoned a Russian spy, and now these people have gotten involved in that. They shot down a civilian plane, mm-hmm. Nothing happened. They annexed Crimea. Nothing happened. They've meddled in our election and ostensibly elected a very pro-Russian president who, by the way, I remembered this today, still hasn't implemented sanctions that he is required by Congress to implement. Mm-hmm. There is so much that they're doing that there is no accountability for. And now with Donald Trump in office making NATO weaker, making the EU weaker, it's kind of terrifying to realize that the forces that came together after World War II and during the Cold War to oppose Russia to prevent it from invading and destroying other countries is at its weakest point ever right now. So they, with no accountability and no defense, I'm kind of terrified to see what Russia is planning.
Right. I want to go back to, because you were talking about state-owned TV.
Yeah.
The state-owned Russian TV channel, Russia One, mm-hmm. suggested it might have been staged by the British government out of spite over the fabulous World Cup hosted by Russia. And I just thought, by golly gee whiz, this sounds so familiar. Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
I'm pretty sure that's not what happened.
Right, but does that not just-
Well, here's what I'll say.
Does that sound so familiar?
It does,
oh,
it
absolutely.
Does. Maybe the UK government staged it, but if they did, it wasn't because of the World Cup.
No.
I think we can all agree on that.
It just sounds like-
They're just jealous.
Interesting tweets that by somebody, who I guess will remain nameless for a second.
Yeah.
Just
again, it'll fabulous. Be investigated. We'll know more at some point. Yeah. Most people won't accept the final results of the investigation, but it will be investigated.
I mean, look, I'll say, very possibly a lot of coincidences, but what they point to me, terrifying. And I think knowing the history of how Russia tends to operate outside of the law, and I mean, again, I was saying the reason that we have NATO to begin with is because we don't trust them to be like a faithful participant on the world stage. Mm-hmm. So even all of this aside, with what we know about Vladimir Putin and how he tends to interact with other countries, I think this is scary. I mean, not just this story alone, this whole situation with Russia and us and the EU, it's terrifying.
Well, if you feel that way, you are not going to like the next few weeks because those meetings with NATO are about to happen.
Yep.
And then he's going to be meeting with
secret,
Vladimir Putin.
Secret Putin.
Fingers crossed,
summit.
Everything goes amazingly and everybody on both sides is benefited by what happens. Mm. Probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we hope.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, with that said, we're going to take the last break of the second hour. More news for you, so we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the main show, everyone. I'm Johnny Arola. Brooke and Jules are here as well. Before we get back to the final two stories I think we have for you, I want to read a few tweets. Melissa Matrice says, my half-brother had the police called on him almost every day for 2 weeks. He moved into a Ritchie townhome neighborhood and they demanded proof he lived there. Mm. I've never had to prove that I lived anywhere, nope. I don't think. That seems a little bit ridiculous. And Brian Newton says, didn't you all do a Pokemon Go story involving black people playing the game and getting the cops called on them? I don't remember for sure, but that is the easiest thing to buy ever.
Yep.
right.
I'm imagining a lot of people got their cops called on them for Pokemon Go because it involves people like weirdly walking to areas without paying attention. And
did you play that? I didn't know you back then.
I did briefly, but I stopped after a couple of weeks because it's not really a game.
I know, I played for like an hour. I didn't want to not be paying attention as I was walking around. It got weird, but I did try it. It just, I think too much.
I feel like Pokemon Go is one of those things that you can only play in certain areas. Like I remember when that came out, I was living in one of the worst districts of San Francisco.
Okay.
And somebody, like, I put it on my phone and I was like, I'm not gonna walk through the Tenderloin with glue to my phone trying to catch stuff. This is a transitional neighborhood with a drug problem. I mean, it's not the right place to just be I don't know, to play games. It's not a fun area.
I was living in downtown Philly, Center City, excuse me, Philadelphians. But I think I lasted like, I say an hour, but that includes me eating. Because I'm pretty sure, like I can remember walking through kind of the scaffolding, walking under, you know what I'm talking about? Like on a building, is that, am I saying the wrong word?
Yeah, scaffolding. And a particular
scaffolding. No, just in general, just walking under and being like, oh, I'm hungry. I think I'm just gonna go there. I had this idea that I was gonna catch Pikachu, and I was really into it.
I had that idea too.
Yeah, and it was like, I got like Bulbasaur or something, and that was it. And that's everyone's first catch, and I was like, you know what? I'm hungry.
I attached it to the front of my bicycle, and I realized that's not safe. Don't do that. Don't catch them while you ride a bike.
I like it being 2018 and still talking about Pokemon Go.
It was an amazing thing. Look, I never really got into it, but the fact that you, everywhere you went, you saw people doing it, that they were sort of joining together, and you know, they'd be paying to like do whatever the thing to the thing. I like that. I thought that was cool. It was different than other games, but it was not much of a game, unfortunately.
True. Yeah. True.
So, right. What do we have?
Well, we do have an update on the Thailand situation where 12 boys and their soccer coach are trapped in a cave. Essentially, they went, if you don't know the story, they went cave exploring, and then the rains hit, they flooded the entrance to the cave, and now the kids can't get out. They were found after 9 days, very hungry but healthy. Currently, efforts to get them out are incredibly difficult. The problem is they have had divers go in there, they've had medical personnel check on them, and they're okay. But the entranceway to the cave is incredibly narrow. It's 2.5 miles, and most of it is flooded. The water is very murky, so it's we're talking about kids who are like 11 to 16 who can't just, you know, swim. A lot of them don't know how to swim. So right now, efforts to get them out are focused on maybe teaching them how to scuba dive, maybe trying to pump water out of some portions of the cave system. And it's a pretty precarious situation because it's July, which means it's the start of monsoon season in Thailand. And if the flooding gets any worse, it could flood the cave that they're currently in. So the clock is ticking. Sunday is supposed to be heavy rains, and on the plus side, right now they're all alive, they're all healthy, and the Thailand government is being helped by the UK, Australia, a lot of neighboring countries. There is a collective effort to get them out. Even Elon Musk has said that he'll give any kind of. I know Elon and I have had beef recently, but this is great. I hope.
What a coastal elite are you?
Oh, no, it's not that.
Elon Musk have
had
beef.
Yeah, he swore at him, actually. Elon swore at him,
Well, we did a little bit of swearing back and forth.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean.
And Elon has that digging machine.
Right.
Yeah, he said he'll help any way he can with the boring company, which I just understood why it's called that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
What I don't understand, so they are able to get things to them.
Yes.
So if they can get stuff to them, how come they can't get some sort of breathing kit that lets you.
Because it's a 6-hour like deep diving mission. Yeah, and if you're not a deep diving professional,
exactly.
It's deadly. It's dangerous.
It's already dangerous for the divers. I mean, these are expert divers. I was listening to a radio interview with one of them, and it sounds like the path to even get to that stage of diving is incredibly, you know, this is like the SWAT of diving, they refer to it. Mm-hmm. The water is dark, these kids don't know how to swim, and what's worse is, you know, you'd think like, we'll just tandem tie them to a diver and take one out at a time. But some of these passageways are so narrow that it's even difficult to get through them with the gear, much less a second person.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they got really far in there too. Jeez.
They did. Well, it was dry at the time.
Yeah.
That's it's just incredibly bad timing. We'll really have to see how this plays out because it's
their plan at this point? Because I read earlier today that they had been attempting to do some draining and accidentally they pumped a bunch of extra water in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, so essentially what happened there was there were volunteers at the scene. There's a lot of volunteers, thankfully. But some of them, so there's a way of, there's a known way of trying to reduce flooding, which is to pump water into the ground. In this case, they are under the ground. So some volunteers were trying to do that thinking that they were helping. And in fact, they were making the flooding a bit worse. But they do have pumping machines trying to get water out of some of the more difficult to navigate areas. But there's even, the toughest thing, there is a mile-long stretch that is all underwater. I've never swam a third of a mile.
Right.
No. And that's, underwater?
You have to be an extremely experienced diver to do something like that. Mm. And I mean, like I said, some of these kids don't know how to swim at all. I mean, they're 11 to 16. Yeah. This is
so terrifying. I'm assuming that they're trying to dig down to them or something like that.
They're trying to get the water out, right?
Too.
There are some other. So they're also looking for alternate shafts that they might be able to get to. So through the ground that aren't through like the known entrance to the cave that they came in through. There was a report that some of the kids said that they had heard some other noises.
Dogs barking and then yes. Chickens or roosters yes. Or something like that. And they are looking for tunnels because at some point yep. They were looking for the ability to tunnel in some way. Now they're just looking for existing mm-hmm. tunnels mm-hmm. that way. But it also could be a hallucination.
That's exactly the thing. I mean, being trapped in the dark for 9 days,
terrified.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, this is my heart goes out to these kids. Yeah. This is so scary to deal
very
with.
Sad.
They're getting I saw the pictures of them getting the old military telephone kind of mm-hmm. contraption going. So they're trying to, get it so these kids can talk to their family.
Wow. So sad, so unexpected too. And obviously the worst part is that there is a time limit on how long they have before they can get them out.
Right, because they're afraid of it raining again as well. Yeah. I'm just glad they found these boys.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, as we get updates, we'll, hopefully we'll
agreed.
Things will work out.
Okay, so here's the difficult thing. Mm-hmm. Very sad story to a silly story. Mm-hmm. Yes. Always a difficult transition
it
to
is,
make.
Yeah.
But we just came off of the 4th of July, so this update is necessary.
Yes. So, lighter news, the worst crisis actor in the world, Alex Jones, announced on July 1st that Democrats and globalists backed by George Soros plan to launch a civil war on the 4th of July. I don't know, I missed it. Were you part of that?
I slept, I was
you
really
slept
tired.
I ate a couple hot dogs.
I did hear a lot of explosions though later on in the day, so maybe he was onto something.
No, I heard those too. I don't know.
I love what you pointed out last week that he, was it the last week or was it just the beginning of this week? The break in the middle of the week has me so confused that today is not Monday, but that he said something obviously ridiculous that is obviously absolutely not going to happen and none of his followers are really going to care or challenge it question it.
They're not functioning on that same plane of reality, I think.
There's that. Okay.
Yeah, that's really the only reason that I want to talk about this because I spend more time than I should trying to understand why people get involved in these either literal cults or cults of personality mm-hmm. that seem to be becoming more and more of a share of the entirety of the internet. And what a lot of these cults rely on is I am the only source of information that you can trust. Everyone else is a liar. Everyone mm-hmm. else is arrayed against you. I will tell you what is true. So, and by the way, the threats against you have to be huge. The secrets I can reveal to you have to be huge for you to value me and buy my penis pills and brain pills and whatever it is that he sells. And by the way, he used that Civil War thing as a way to sell merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
Before the Civil War that didn't actually happen.
Yeah. This is
so you have to say all those crazy things. But what they usually do is they'll say, like, I remember I watched one Alex Jones video. I think I've watched one. And it was 3 years ago, and it was around July. And he was saying, I have it on good authority, every millionaire is leaving. They're all going to Israel. By the end of the year, everyone will be gone, and that's when the invasion happens. And he was saying that months out. So what happened was, by the way, they didn't all leave, and the invasion didn't happen. Huh. But it was months later, so it's easy for his viewers to forget, because 2 days later, it's gay frogs, and a day after that, it's stuff in the air, and there's all these things. But in this case, he predicted it like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
You should be able to remember. And the thing is, if you trust someone, if you believe that they're the only one that's revealing the truth to you, they're the only ones that wouldn't lie, and they predict something as significant, as monumentally important in American history as a second civil war, and they get it 100% wrong, literally 72 hours after they predicted it, and it doesn't lead a single one of you to stop watching him, not you, but his fans.
Well, we don't know.
What does that say about his fans?
Right.
They don't care. There is nothing he could say. He could say, I'm going to explode in 2 seconds. On to the next commercial break. What
buy
could
my
possibly
pills.
Get through to you at this point?
You know, there was at least one, I guess you could call it a professional casualty of the second Civil War actor James Woods.
That's true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lost his representation. Poor his James agent Woods. Was feeling patriotic.
That was great.
And sent him a nice little letter saying, I no longer want to represent you, which is fascinating because then the actor starts bringing up the First Amendment and how on the 4th of July you should want to stand by this. And I was like, well, it seems like he kind of is. You're saying you should be able to choose to act however you want to act. And he's kind of doing the same thing. He does not want to be surrounded by you. He doesn't want you in a circle anymore. He doesn't want to represent you. He doesn't want to connect to you anymore. You're both making choices. Yeah. It's like, is it?
So I had read something about, I tried to avoid any news about James Woods. That's that's how I go through my life. I made a joke about him going to the Supreme Court because it might happen, by the way. It's like 10% chance. So that letter that I'm feeling patriotic, did he, the guy actually sent that?
Yeah. I wish I had it pulled up. I'll find it while you guys.
So what do you think about that?
It's hilarious.
Because I honestly wonder, first of all, you're still his agent up until yesterday.
He's a liberal. So why would you
represent? I guess a lot of agents are probably liberal. I would say I wouldn't do it like that. I understand that most people say that I should be more willing to just punch people in the face and that we should I believe we have a society, we have to get along in certain ways. I don't think you should have been his agent in the first place if you found him so distasteful. That said, doing it on the 4th of July in that way makes him too much of a martyr. If you had done it on Monday, you would have had a great reason. He doesn't work. There's no reason for him to have an agent in the first place, as Casey Nelson pointed out on Twitter.
You know what? He has had some notable roles. He was a background voice extra in GTA San Andreas.
I'm sorry. Okay. I will never say
that was 7 years
anything
ago.
Other than the guy who killed Medgar Evers. Like in Ghost of Mrs. I can't get. I was just like, I'm like, okay, wait, no, this is not the real person. Okay, I am just so. I remember that. Oh, but this is the letter. He actually did send it.
I'm feeling patriotic. I don't want to represent you anymore. I mean, I could go on a rant, but you know what I'd say. Well, maybe they talked about it before.
And you know, and I feel like, what if this is his longtime agent and he, because also, you got to be fair, the election in 2016 and kind of like going up to it, a lot of people that you thought were normal turned out not to be.
Yeah.
And maybe this was the, and I'm not saying, I'm not talking about Trump supporters specifically, I'm just talking about people. It's just like feeling weird about it. And also, because the same argument, if he's not making any money, you're not really doing much with him anyway. Mm-hmm. And so people aren't calling. And so maybe he just was like, you know what, I just don't want to be connected to him. And he wanted to send this. And he also sent a private little statement, a little quick email. It didn't have to go on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
that's true. Yeah.
Can I just say, just going through some of the tweets, making fun of this second Civil War.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to be specific to a group. I'm just going to point out that one group was joking about prepping for the second Civil War with avocado toast and cold brew coffee and sparkling water. The other group was joking about murder.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I've got my guns, you're gonna lose. And I just thought that it was interesting to see what the two sides were joking about.
And we do come back to that every once in a while. And that is the thing, like Alex Jones will say, and God, I feel just sick that I've said his name like twice now on the show.
It's like you've seen the third time he appears.
Exactly. I don't care about him, but I do care about some of his viewers, especially the people that recently started. Some of them maybe could be saved if somebody were to reach out to them and say that this is an insane scam artist that is trying to he's trying to take your money for his paleo bone broth soup or whatever it is that he sells. I care about those people. And he put up a video of him shooting like a machine gun or something. Like these people, they desperately want to kill. Mm-hmm. They want to kill people so bad. And they are looking for an excuse to. When he says there's gonna be a second Civil War, okay, he's saying that. He's not actually gonna do anything. He just wants to continue barking at a camera and making money and all of that. But out of all of his supporters, some of whom are gun owners, some of whom believe that a civil war is about to begin, how confident are you that all of those people will wait until the libs start the second civil war? Mm-hmm. What was the odds that one of his followers would decide, you know what? If it's gonna happen and my savior says it's gonna happen, maybe I should shoot the first shot. Lucky at this point that nothing actually happened, considering the size of his audience and the size of their insanity.
And considering Pizzagate,
Yeah, they already have been shooting.
Like exactly what you just described did happen.
Yeah.
Do we have a second to leave on some lighter tweets from the Second Civil War?
Sure, if you got them.
I got them. So my favorite was by Chrissy Teigen.
Me too.
She's the best. She is the best.
It's so good.
We have Chrissy's tweet. What time's the war? And then the follow-up, incredible. I have to go to Ralph's, then need to shower, but I can shower after the war, I guess.
How did she get so
she's
good on
so
Twitter?
She's
so funny.
It's incredible. Right. And then we also have one more from Patton Oswalt, who's also killing it on Twitter. My beloved Harriet, I write to you with a heavy heart. I was gravely memed during a skirmish with a squad of incel irregulars. Doc Tibbins says there's nothing for it. He will have to amputate my Twitter feed. Womp womp, Jed.
Did you see that dear Mrs. Dershowitz one?
Oh,
I regret to inform you that your husband has been gravely wounded during the Battle of Martha's Vineyard, overtaken by a fierce volley of social disinvitations. We fear that his ego shall remain desperately fragile. Hashtag Second Civil War letters.
Do we have time for, I'm not going to remember the actual wording, but it was something like, we have a set of red hats pinned down outside Durham. They desperately need to go to the bathroom, but all the bathrooms are trans friendly and they dare not enter. They have begun to defecate on themselves.
These accents right now, as someone who grew up in the South, these two.
Are they good?
Who did not, they are spot on.
Thank you so much.
Nailed it. I don't think I nailed it, that's the thing. Anyway, okay, well, thank you guys. That was a lot of fun, especially at the end there. I hadn't seen the Chrissy Teigen ones. Those were really
funny.
So thank you both, Brooke and Jules. Thank you for watching, by the way. Don't go anywhere because in not too much longer, Rebel Headquarters starts. I'm going to be talking with Zephyr Teachout. We'll see you then.